Today we are going to start a four-week series on prayer. Now, when I hear that, sometimes I kind of cringe a little bit. I feel a little guilty. I plan on doing something else the next 3 weeks, maybe. But I don't want us to feel guilty, because every Christian of all time and space could have always had a better prayer life. They could pray longer. They could pray deeper. Even the disciples, we see Jesus asked them to pray in the garden. This is really important, guys, and he comes back and he finds them all sleeping. So you're in good company if your prayer life could improve. So just to put you at ease, we don't want to make anyone feel guilty or bad, because that's not who God is. He's a God of grace, a God of love, and a God who delights to commune with us. So that's what we'd like to discuss here. We're going to be looking over 4 weeks. Today we're going to be looking at the privilege to pray. Next week, the power of prayer and what prayer actually does. The third week, we're going to be looking at the types of prayers, different prayers in the Bible and different prayers that we can use. And lastly, the difficulties of prayer, because the reality is, for most of us, it's a challenge to spend time in prayer, to focus on God, and really, really pray. Megan and I were out with some friends yesterday, and they asked me what I was going to preach about today, and I said prayer, and they said, well, how can you pray that long? How long do you really pray? I was like, well, I mean, it is hard to pray. It's hard to stay focused. Sometimes what I do is I set a timer, so I'm going to pray until 2 o'clock, and which is 20 minutes away. I can do it. And sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of that time to truly get focused. And so prayer is difficult. It is challenging, because everything in us fights against it. And now we have so many distractions in our life. We carry a constant distraction with us at all times. But today we're going to be looking at the privilege of prayer. Prayer is really the lifeblood to the church. Nothing will happen in this church, in the church universal, unless God's people pray. Same with us as individual believers. It is the lifeblood to our faith, to knowing God. This week, if you're reading through the Bible in a yearly plan, I came across Matthew chapter 5, which is the Beatitudes, and it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I can't think of anything more that could give us that desire than being in prayer. And if we have the goal of making disciples who make disciples and form them into the inner Christ-likeness in such a way that they easily and routinely do the things Jesus told us to do, then we need to be in prayer as a church and as individuals. Well, before we jump into the Word and talking about prayer, let's pray briefly. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of prayer, that you will hear us, even though we're mumbling and don't know what to say in prayer. We're inarticulate. But God, you choose to hear us. And God, you choose to work in us. And God, we thank you so much. And the privilege of prayer is amazing, Lord. And I pray that you would be here in this place and help us to see that not that we have to pray, God, but that we get to pray to you. God, that you are begging us to come and to fellowship with you, to share our lives with you, to share our hearts with you, God. And so I pray, God, that you would work through these feeble words of mine, and God, that your scripture would come alive to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently heard a really interesting podcast about a phone booth. One man, he went to a concert, and on his way out, he got a magazine. And in that magazine, he was talking about this lone soul phone booth in the middle of the Mojave Desert in southwest United States. And this phone booth was miles and miles from any pavement, just sitting there by itself. The man says, I wasn't sure I believed it. Oh, and this was the mid-90s, pre-cell phone days. Because when you were out in the desert in those days, you were on your own. You couldn't call people. So the idea that there could be this phone booth just sitting out in an uncontactable place was kind of like if somebody was on the moon, you know, and you could talk to somebody on the moon. So this guy, after reading this, he got home and he thought to himself, why not give it a shot? So he started calling this number and it just rang and rang and rang. And he says, and I let it ring for a long time. And I was just imagining this lonely phone booth, making it this phone ring where presumably no one could hear it except the coyotes. But then there was also in the back of your mind the thought, what if? Like, what if somebody's wandering by? Who would be out there? Who would pick it up? It just really grabbed me. And he said he really became almost obsessed with this phone. And so every day he would call this phone. He had put a post-it note on his mirror saying, have you called the Mojave Desert today? When his friends would come over, he would make them call it. And I'm sure they thought he was crazy, just calling a phone that's ringing. But one day he was calling and he got a busy signal. And he was delighted. He couldn't believe it. So he started recording himself because he wanted to record this historic moment. And he kept on calling back and kept getting the busy signal. And he said he didn't want to miss this person. So he called and called and called. And finally, a young lady picked up. And he was so delighted. He couldn't contain himself. And he said, who are you? And she said her name. And she's like, cool, what are you doing out there? She said, I live out here. I'm just making my calls. And he was just amazed. He's like, cool, that's so amazing. What do you do? She said, I mine cinder to make cinder blocks. And he said, cool, that's so awesome. And so they talked a little more about this phone booth, and he was so excited about it, he made a website in the infancy of the internet. He made this website, put the number up there, and before he knew it, he was receiving mail with articles in different languages talking about this phone booth that he posted. It had kind of gone all over the world, this idea of this lone phone booth and the mystery and the intrigue of it. And so eventually he went out to find this phone booth, he and a friend, and they went out there and they would just pick up the phone whenever it would call. And they would hear people from all around the world, and they thought it was just this amazing thing. And it called so frequently that he and his friend had to take it off the hook so they could sleep at night. But it was really just a delightful story, and eventually lots of people came out to find this phone booth, and then it eventually got shut down just because it turned out it was in the national park that they just set aside. But this is an interesting story because it's this guy is so interested in this connection. He's so delighted with this remote, this bizarre, random person connection that he could have to this person in the middle of nowhere. It really is a fun story to listen to. And as amazing as fun as that story is, we have a great advantage in prayer. We don't talk to someone randomly in a desert, but we talk to someone in heaven. We don't talk to a random passerby, but God Almighty, who knit us together in our mother's womb. We don't talk to a stranger, but to God Himself. Prayer should get us just as excited, excited as this young man, even more so, because those people didn't care really who he was, but God cares. Prayer is so important to the Christian life, and Jesus is our example. He's going out constantly, we see, separating himself from the crowds to pray to his Father. And if Jesus needed to pray, surely we also need to pray. So who you talk to matters. Who you talk to matters. These people in the phone booth, they would find out who they're talking to, and it was just kind of a fun little interaction. When we're at home and the phone rings and Megan picks it up, I could tell who she's talking to by how she speaks to them, whether it's her family, it's very familiar, whether it's a work call or a pharmacy calling for her. You could tell because who you talk to changes the way that you talk. And so is it with prayer. The way that we pray to God reveals what we believe about God. Do we believe that he's loving? Do we believe that he's really in control? Do we believe he's powerful? Do we believe that he can work all things out according to our good or for our good? Do we believe that? Well, let's take a look at the scripture this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 6. In the Pew Bible, it's page 811. We saw in the reading today that Ken read, we saw the Pharisee, the person who was there saying how great he is, he's thanking God that he's not like these other people. And then we see tax collector, I believe, there, not beating his chest, not even looking up to God, saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God said that that's the correct way to pray. There's a right way and a wrong way, God shows us. So starting at the beginning of chapter 6, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, beware, first of all, talking about giving to the needy, of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from them, from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What is he saying here? He's saying, don't be so religious about it, and don't be so selfish about it. Don't make a big show of giving to the needy, because if you're truly doing this because of who God is and who you are in light of it, you don't need to broadcast it to the nations. You don't need to post on Facebook every time that you gave a dollar to somebody on the street, maybe. You don't need to do that. Same thing with prayer. He goes from giving to the needy, then he goes into talking about prayer in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Same thing, saying, don't be religious about this. Don't try to get points for this. Don't try to build up your resume by letting others see how great of a prayer person you are. But it's to be between you and your Father. And verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So God, Jesus is saying, when we pray, there's no formality necessary. We can go to God and pray to him. Don't be religious. Don't be showy about it, because that's not the point of prayer whatsoever. It's a conversation between you and the Almighty. And so, we're going to look today a little at this, at the Lord's Prayer, and see exactly who we are praying to. Obviously, we know the answer. The church answer is always Jesus, and that's correct. But let's look a little further. Verse 9, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God is telling us, who are we praying to? We're praying to God our Father, the holy, revered one, the one who is without blemish or stain, who is perfect, who is holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who are we praying to? We're praying to a king, the king of the universe, the king of all heaven and earth, the king and creator who spoke and universes came into existence. We're praying to this great God and king who rules and reigns not only in heaven, everything goes according to his will, but also on earth. He reigns on earth and should reign in our lives as well. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Who do we pray to? Our provider, the God who can sustain us, who can give us all things according to his will. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Who are we praying to? We're praying to the only one who can forgive sins, which is God alone. A forgiving God, a gracious God, a God of second chances, of third chances, of 574th chances. A God who is loving and forgiving. That is who we are praying to, God alone, the forgiving, gracious God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Who are we praying to? We're praying to the God who can guide us through our path in life. We're praying to the only one who can deliver us from evil, the only one who can protect us from all the things that we encounter in this life. We are praying to God Almighty. And so when we pray, we can commune with God. We can be real, is what God is saying to us. We don't have to come with this set agenda, this programmatic prayer, but we can be real with God. When we come to God, we enact the gospel pretty much. We understand that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. And we come to God knowing that we are nothing in his sight. The nations are but a drop in the bucket compared to him. And so when we come to him, we know that we are sinful and flawed. But at the same time, we understand that we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hoped. And so that's the hope that we come when we pray to God. We know that we're more sinful than we can ever believe, but we're more loved than we ever dared hoped. And when we come to God, we know we can see that prayer is a privilege, and it's a privilege of access, first of all. A privilege of access to come to the king and speak openly to him as we'd like. We see in the book of Esther in the Old Testament, Esther is in a bind. She is married to the king, so she is the queen. And she's found out that there's this plot for the Jewish people to be killed, to be wiped out. And Esther is a Jew. And so she wants to go to the king. But the problem is that you can't just walk into the king's throne room. If you do, the penalty is death. Esther had no access to the king. But we see in the story that she eventually came to the conclusion that she has to go in. She has to put her life on the line. She has to risk it in order to save her people. And she says, if I perish, I perish. And she went into the king's throne room. And thankfully, she did not perish as he gave her grace. But so you can't just go into a king. Likewise, in our country, we are living in a democratic country, and so we're supposed to be the power behind the president, the power behind the elected officials. But think what it takes to get in to see the president of the United States. Only people who merit his time and attention would be allowed in. They must have credentials, accomplishments, and perhaps a power base of their own. But if you are one of his children, however, it's different. In the same way with God of the universe is mindful of you, so that we can go in and we have access to God, the greatest King of Kings, we can go in and have access to him whenever we like. Tim Keller has a quote that says, the only person who dares wake a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access. We are called God's children. Though he is the king of the universe, we can go in and speak to him whenever we would like. He is God Almighty, the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God. So if God knows everything already, everything that's going to happen, he's all powerful, why do we even pray to him? Well, because God, in a way to commune with us, to be close with us, he loves to work with us and chooses to work through our prayers. We pray that God would heal the sick. God could heal the sick on his own, but he loves to partner with us, have like a father-son relationship. He loves to work through our prayers. The Bible says God is a high priest. Well, Christ is our high priest who relates to us. And it says, since we have a great high priest who's come from heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. And let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us approach God because we are privileged with his access. In a time of need, go to him, speak to him, honestly, frankly, because we may receive mercy and grace. Lastly, God relates to us as Father. We have his attention. We have his full attention when we pray to him. To be a child of God means access. We know that God is attentively listening to us and watching us. I think back when I was in college, I went to Eastern University outside Philadelphia, and my father was a professor there, which made some things pretty convenient for me. I would meet up with him every now and then. He would bring things in from home, so I wouldn't have to make the trip back. And I remember one day I met up with him, and we were walking back to his office. I think he had some things for me, or we had to talk about something. But as I was walking up, we got up the stairs, turned the corner to his office, and there was a student, or maybe two, sitting there waiting for him, waiting for his office hours to ask a question, to complain about a grade, who knows. I didn't have to stand there behind this student. I was able to walk right in. My dad said, this is my son, so you can come on in. And so this is a perfect picture of God giving us access. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to be good enough to get his attention. We don't have to fill in all the blanks because we are privileged as Christians. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to God all the time. And it truly is a privilege to be able to speak to him. If I had a phone here that I told you went directly to heaven, and you could come in privately when no one's around, pick up the phone and talk to him, what would you say? What would you say to him? It's an amazing privilege of access. And some of us, I know when I say that, I think that we would have some pretty hard questions for God. And we'll discuss that later in the series. But God is not too bashful for our questions. He's not afraid of our questions. And even if he doesn't give us the answer, God will give us the peace and the patience and the grace to trust in him, knowing that he has all things in his control. Last triennial, I remember... there was a speaker there. He was the keynote speaker. I think his name was David Butts. So that's a name that I was hard to forget. But he was speaking about prayer. I think he came from the National House of Prayer or something like that. And he had an amazing illustration of our privilege to prayer. He said in the book of Revelation, John describes the throne room of God. And at the very center of it is God's huge, magnificent white throne. And right next to that is the throne of Jesus Christ. And he says, John, when he's describing this, it's like almost like he's searching for human language to describe it. He almost stutters trying to describe it. And the throne of God and it's the God the Son's throne. And then before them is this giant sea of glass. And if that weren't enough, there are these four living creatures all around God and God the Father and the Son. And their sole eternal task is to cry out day and night for all of eternity, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And beyond that, there are 24 elders, and they each have their own tiny thrones. And they have crowns of gold that they continually throw before the throne of God, because he alone is worthy of it. And then beyond that, heaven's throne room is filled with a myriad, thousands and thousands and thousands of angels that are there in joyful assembly, worshiping God day and night. And he said, heaven is one fantastic place. It is amazing. And this man, he said, and he imagines at the very, very back of the throne room of God is a tiny little door. And when we pray, that door slowly creaks open and we walk in. We walk in past the elders, past the angels, past the four living beasts, right up to the throne of God ourselves. And when we get up to God, this amazing privilege, we walk up to him and say, dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this food. Thank you. I pray you bless us and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. And we turn around and we walk right back out. And the angels are looking at us there and it's like, what are you doing? That's it? That's it? That was pathetic. You have the attention of God Almighty, the one who created the universe, who sustains all things. You walked right in past this amazing scene. And that's all you're going to say? We have an incredible access to God. It's secret, intimate, quiet, and powerful. Romans 8 says, you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is like a very tender word that might be one of the first words a baby learns to say, Abba, to his father. And we have this close relationship with God and this amazing access. And we need to take advantage of that as Christians. And we can come in and speak to God and lay down our burdens before him. Lay down all anxieties before him because we know he's in control of all things. We can come and really understand our true identity in Christ. That we are a child of God in this amazing scene, in this throne room, this grand power and glory and holiness. God reaches out and says to us, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you. And nothing is going to separate my love from you. No one can pluck you out of my hand. It's an amazing privilege to be able to come in and speak with God. 1 Peter 5 says, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And we know that God, though he was rich in heaven, for our sakes became poor and came to earth and died on the cross so that we can be with him in that amazing scene of glory and wonder and holiness and honor forever. And not only do we have the privilege of talking to God and privilege of finding our identity in God, but the privilege of simply being in God's presence, the peace that comes after spending a time in prayer with God and feeling as though you've been in his presence, the peace knowing that he is in control, that no matter what I do, I know that God is in control. It is a place that we can just delight in his presence and feel as the blessing of his presence, of being near to God. And so, how do we become good at praying? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we don't just wake up one day and become amazing prayer warriors. It's something small. I saw a video this week talking. One man talking to another is like, "When did you fall in love with your wife? Or why does your wife love you? It's because of small little deeds, acts done every single day." It's not because you brought home flowers one day, but it's because of the small acts over the past 5 years. Same thing is with being someone who can pray well. We're not going to wake up and have one grand gesture. and be able to pray. Like going to the gym, he also said. It's not like you go to the gym one day and you suddenly come home and you're fit. It's something that takes time. It's a practice. You go over and over and over again, and we pray to God. And when we pray to God consistently, even a minute or two, whatever we're doing right now, I challenge us to be people who can pray these next 30 days as we go through this series. I pray that I would challenge you that you would pray, even just for a few minutes a day. Because the more we pray, the easier it is to commune with God. And the more that we commune with God, the more we are in touch with His will, and we become people who truly can be called Christians. There's something sweet about being in the presence of God, about turning off all distractions and coming in and dwelling with God, who knows us. We have nothing that we need to hide from God because there's nothing we can hide from God. And so I pray that these next 4 weeks, we would really challenge yourself. Find a time in the day when works best for you. Maybe it's during lunch break, or maybe it's right when you wake up in the morning before anyone else is up, or maybe it's right before you go to bed. But I encourage you to spend some time communing with God. We also have prayer this Wednesday at 7, but I find when I spend time in prayer that I feel God close to me, and it seems as though I can take on the day a little easier, knowing that God is in control. As I mentioned before, one thing I like to do is I like to set my alarm maybe for 20 minutes and try to pray until the alarm. Sometimes I'm praying and I look up and I still have 15 minutes to go. But I encourage you, God is a Father who begs you to come and commune with Him, to be with Him. We have this amazing chance to walk into that tiny door of the throne room and to commune with the Lord. So I want to take a few minutes here just to pray together. A typical format of prayer is the word ACTS. That stands for A, adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. This is a very standard kind of outline of prayer. So I'd like to take a few minutes. We could just pray where you are, and I'll lead us through these different sections of prayer. Let's start with A, adoration. Just praise God for who He is. Praise God for waking us up this morning. Praise God for the beautiful day He's given us. Dear God, we lift You up. We glorify You. We praise You because You are the God who made us, the God who spoke this creation into being and sustains us. You are good. Lord, there is none like You. And so, God, we move on to the next section, C, confession. God, we can confess this past week we have not loved You with our whole hearts. We have not focused on You. We have put other things before You. And God, we come and confess today that we have failed to live up to the name of Christian. God, we pray that You would forgive us for our sins. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for so many things in our life. How could we ever say thank you enough? We thank you for the beautiful day today. We thank you that we're physically able to get up and come and celebrate with your people. Thank you for the people that you brought into this room, into our church family, that we can wrestle with faith alongside them. God, I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here and meet in peace without fear. And so, God, we move on to supplication. God, we pray for the Christians around the world who are gathering today in dangerous places, in places where they literally put their life on the line to gather together and worship you. God, we pray that you would protect them. And God, but more so we pray that you would strengthen their faith, that they may know no matter what happens in life or death, God, that you reign supreme, that you are in control of all things. God, we pray for this neighborhood, Lord. We know that there are people here who are without hope. God, we pray that you would help us to reach them. God, that they may know the true hope, the eternal hope that is in you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we pray for our family members who may be far from you, or those who are struggling. God, we can only do so much. We are so limited. But God, we pray to you, you with whom all things are possible. God, we know that your arm is not too short to answer any prayer. And so, God, we pray that it would be your will that you would reach our family members, God, they may come to know you. Lord, we lift up these supplications. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, that we can come into your throne room, that we could speak directly with you, the creator of the universe. God, help us to be able to focus in prayer. Help us to have the faith to pray. And help us to pray with great faith, knowing that you will hear us and that you will move. God, I pray that you would help us this coming week as we attempt to pray regularly to you. God, I pray that you would be present in those moments and that we might sense, God, that you hear us, that we are not praying to the roof, but God, that we are praying to the God of the universe. And Lord, I pray that you would give us your presence, your sweet, peaceful presence when we pray. And God, that we may come to know you better for our joy and for your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And you've already prayed for 6 minutes this week. So, hey, for some of us, that might be double what we did last week. So I encourage you to please keep it up because there's nothing more important than dwelling with God Almighty. So before we go, let's sing a few songs together.